Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Straightforward. I'm honored to be here today with Stacey Ruth, who has a long career on healthcare and applying digital and technology to healthcare. So really excited to have you here, Ruth. Maybe we start with some background on you and how actually you get to be in this space and what excites you about this space we're in today.
That sounds great. Hello, Bruno, and thank you for having me. So coming up on 25 years in health technology, and of course, we've seen a big digital push for that over the last decade or so. I spent most of my career in starting commercial. So I did everything from selling to hospitals, put together partnerships, et cetera, and then transitioned into business leadership. I had a great long career at Philips Healthcare as they were evolving from a consumer electronics company into a healthcare company. I've taken that and created my own digital health business called Air Health, and we're in an exit process now for that. And then I've been really working really as a standalone advisor for a number of years and working through some of the biggest problems in digital transformation and some of the frameworks that can help companies large and small. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your insights and wisdom with us here. What really kind of excites me and intrigues me about the programs in health, in the health space, is the multitude of players that are involved, right? So we have clients, we have patients, we have healthcare professionals involved. And usually kind of when we see solutions that are really comprehensive and impactful, they have to deal with all those stakeholders, right? And I'm very curious to learn with you, you know, how actually you get to take in consideration, you know, all the needs of those different stakeholders and how you balance them out, and how do you go about, you know, managing so much complexity in a digital program in the health space.
Yes, so we'll park the business side of it just for a moment and talk about all the stakeholders, and you're right, it's very unique. We all know what multi-sided markets are, but in healthcare, you really have four sides, right? You have the person who consumes, and we're all consumers of healthcare. You have the person who provides, or the entity that provides. Sometimes that's different from the entity who pays, so you have a different responsible party from an economic standpoint. And then really you have all this caregiving and or the network of people around that individual that need to be mobilized. And when you think about that, business plays a role in all the stakeholder management. And it's very unique within health technology companies how you consider those different pieces. But it really starts with the problem that you're solving. And we can go a lot deeper into that discussion. But in order to get stakeholder management really going in a digital transformation or even an effort in health technology and innovation, you have to think about all of those stakeholders and how within your own business, you will identify the different, I'll call them pinch points for each one of those along the way. But it starts with defining that problem.
I see. You try to define like the need and the problem for each stakeholder, or more like in a more combined way, or like trying to summarize the problem, because sometimes not necessarily the needs of all those stakeholders, at least in our experience in other situations in different segments, not necessarily the needs of stakeholders are actually aligned, so that sometimes there's a conflict, right? So what one stakeholder is actually wants and needs is actually goes against the other. So how do you actually get to identify those pinch points, as you call it? Is it like a balance of those all needs, or is like it specific needs and try to kind of negotiate like with the other stakeholders, like how they can accommodate that need?
If we all rally around the problem, what you're really solving for is what is creating either an undesirable outcome or what is adding cost within healthcare. And sometimes we call that quadruple aim, which is where you look at everything from customer experience to caregiver experience to the cost and the outcome. But what that balance is, if you want to look at it like a scale, it's really what can we do as companies, technology companies, service providers to increase outcomes, improve outcomes, and lower cost. And so when we're thinking about all those different stakeholders that I mentioned before, you're really having a mind to which problem are we solving and how are we going to solve it in such a way that it either creates such an abundance of outcome improvement that the cost is somewhat negated, or are we going to need to balance between a cost reduction and an outcome improvement? Mostly it's a balance.
Got it. Understood. And I understand like those programs, like usually, again, when they're ambitious and impactful, they're also they have long-term vision and execution, right? That they take a lot of time, like involve a lot of integration in different parts, right? So how do you actually kind of measure success with such long programs? Like how do you kind of have intermediate, you know, goals, or like how do you actually track success in such long-term programs?
And it is very long, and I'm glad that you bring that up. And maybe typically longer than you would see in different industries. So the innovation cycles, although you do sprints and you do MVPs and all the things that you would do in traditional innovation, those cycles are a bit longer, as are the sales cycle. So what I would say is, from keeping everybody within pace, one of the things that I've always loved to do as a person in more of a commercial role and or in a business leadership role is to really look at what that North Star is. What are we trying to solve for? And in that, how far out are we looking? And when we identify that North Star, it's much easier to put those KPIs or those milestones or horizons, whichever view we decide we want to do together. And then it's a lot easier to break that problem down into very addressable pieces. And I know it's oversimplifying a bit, but if we can look at the long-term goal, whether that's a business goal or an outcome goal or a cost reduction goal, right, for the client, it's really about looking at, is this problem big enough? How are we going to build credibility around solving it? And that's where all of us can jump in, right, as stakeholders, to say, we all agree on where we want to go. We see a problem here that we believe is a big enough problem to tackle collectively, spend a lot of time on alignment and assessment. And then in that second step, when you really think about stakeholder management, is how can we credibly and or build credibility around solving that problem? And that requires ecosystem building and partnerships. And you really start to get into the how to reach that North Star. And in that is where a lot of stakeholder management needs to happen.
I see. Once you have that North Star, right? So it's kind of I guess it's easier to, you know, approve a business case or align that, as you know, on the long term, like a, if you get to that, you know, North Star there, it's probably, you know, impactful enough for, you know, to create the value creation is big enough that everybody's easy to align on that, right? What we find actually more challenges, like, okay, but this is like a 3, 4, 5 year goal, right? How actually track if we're on track in year one, or, yes, you know, after 18, 24 months of program, like how do you know that actually, you know, we're actually pushing to that direction or not kind of diverging and going elsewhere that completely gets us off mark?
Yeah. So one of the big things that we can look for is adoption, and really focusing in that, I'll call it a first horizon, just to keep it very concrete. We'll call it in a year's view. And when you're looking in that year's view, it's really important to understand, what capabilities do we have today? Which ones can be activated within that year's period of time? And how much adoption would we be able to drive with solution A, use case A, whichever modality we choose, right? How are we going to work on that adoption? And, you know, we're all familiar with things like maturity curve and different pieces, or crossing the chasm. We've all read those business books, right? But really in healthcare, there's a longer gap in that adoption cycle. And sometimes it's underestimated. and what we would typically call product market fit, like really identifying we've got it, now let's go to that next step or that next horizon, it looks so different in healthcare. And what I typically focus on if I'm working with a company or in my own is to really look for that repeatable business model. And that's what needs to be focused on in year one. So if I was rolling up my sleeves, I would say, pick a use case, really identify how are we going to get adoption, and then really fight for what the right business model is that takes into account those complicated set of stakeholders that we have. Who are we serving each one of those?
But like a, trying to really kind of working on a MVP or like a kind of a minimal viable thing that can be tested and verify the fit of your idea with a really a market adoption as soon as possible, right? Like I love that. But tell me a little bit more. Like it looks like a conundrum. Like try to run an MVP on it in healthcare because you know that everything takes so long. Like how actually can do things fast and test them out, right? So tell me a little bit about more about that. What are the real bottlenecks and constraints to actually do something quick and test that product market fit? Like is it, we hear a lot that you know there's of course there's compliance and there's compliance but is it really the only bottleneck there in terms of kind of doing something quick to test the product market fit out there?
Yes, if we are sure that we're solving the big problem, right? The problem that we have the capabilities to come in and solve in that year horizon. You're right, MVP is not necessarily fully accepted within the healthcare industry, but there are things you can do. For example, when I talked about building ecosystems, if we can find pieces of that tech stack that can be brought together that have already made it through that clearance cycle, evidence cycle, whichever bar we need to get past in the regulatory space, it is much simpler to think in terms of what part of the problem can I solve and where can I bring in other experts, companies, licensing. And the more technical you get, of course, the more complex that ecosystem is. Sometimes it's taking some readily available technology and really working on either the service innovation or the delivery innovation, and or it's a cleanup of some part of that tech stack. So I always encourage when I'm looking at a business in that discovery phase is to think about, could we plug a hole very quickly? Is there something we can do with our capabilities that add to another business's capabilities? And then we put in motion this corporate development or business development kind of action in that first phase. So I see a lot of very successful, I'll call them later stage startups or more mid-market companies, have started with this, let's layer in technologies from other companies early. Let's figure out what the secret sauce that we can provide. And then let's get all rallied around the part of the problem that we're able to solve, perfect it with an MVP, product market fit, and then really think about, now, where would we like to add our own parts of the technology stack that we weren't quite ready for? Maybe that becomes horizon two and then horizon three and beyond. I hope that answers it, but it's very collaborative and it has to be very collaborative. I know it is across all industries, but in healthcare specifically, because of how long the innovation cycles take, it's more appropriate normally to join up with other companies and to let that process run faster.
Just so I understand, like you do this to kind of leverage the time frame that they already kind of got under their belt, like because they have a solution that is already kind of a went through a certain regulatory framework that is kind of we accelerate the time frame of the overall program. Is this one of the reasons why you kind of a bringing more people that may have solutions that are already available?
Yes. And if you think about different elements of the tech stack, so say you're a company that has developed an AI platform, and what you really need is that data intake for that machine learning and the AI. And there are lots of companies that are down at the sensing level within healthcare that have spent all the time and necessary rigor to pull a sensing device that is cleared by the FDA or other regulatory bodies around the world. So what you can do is more quickly allow them to have greater data, you know, access, if you will, and that becomes a symbiotic relationship between the two companies. Later, you might want to come back in and have your own different version of data acquisition through sensing, ambient, you know, wearables, all of the different IoT solutions. But that's one example of how you would, within an offering or within a product set, really work together with another company where you're both extracting value out of that value chain.
Got it. Understood. Thank you for that. And I really love when you reinforce like the need for alignment and understanding of the problem first. Tell me a little bit about, because that's also our experience in big programs, and we kind of challenge a lot the kind of a 30,000 feet type of consultancy that just aligns on the target. Okay, this is, you know, it's very easy to align on the North Star that you mentioned, right? But I see kind of mainly complex organizations. It's very challenging to actually align on where we are, what are the problems are, right? So it's very, very easy to convince people, well, let's go all there. And then the next challenging thing is to get to do the first step, because people don't agree where we are, right? So to get there. So tell me a little bit of your experience and how actually you get to people to kind of some you know, strategy or practices or techniques that you use to kind of get that alignment on around the problem. That's so critical.
Yes. And I think that one of the things that gets a little bit of that anxiousness around the big, how are we going to get there? One of the things that takes down that anxiety is to really have a focus on the capabilities that we have and how we could quickly supplement or package those capabilities together, and which use case do they match? So there are thousands of use cases within healthcare. Then you can narrow them down. My favorite spot is digital healthcare, which is where you're really taking technologies originally designed for acute care and you're bringing them down toward using them in the home. If you can really think about how to break that down in the early days of discussions, where we say, yes, there's a North Star, and I agree, much easier to say, here's an up North Star than what do you do first? I always like to say, spend some time. Is it 6 weeks? Is it 12 weeks? Thinking about matching your capabilities to the quickest and most awesome, if you will, use cases that match right out of the gate. And usually you're going to find 5 or 10 of those that you can prioritize together. And then what you just said was first versus the big. We have to all agree that it's okay that this is just the first. I'm also a big proponent in a niche or a niche product. So I always like to say, and it's okay if it's small, because we're going to learn here. We're going to learn how to iterate and go faster. So I like to see a little niche use case that can grow into a larger use case, very attractive for that big one. And we have to make everyone understand that the fastest way to that is a use case that matches our current capabilities. But people don't like to narrow. So we have to be honest about the conversation, right? There's a lot of resistance generally to narrowing. And I find that when you can show not just step one, but show how that can grow 2, 3, 4 steps down the line toward the bigger vision, then it's a much more appealing start than maybe how small it looks. The numbers aren't going to be all that impressive when you look at that first use case normally, but while the other end of the spectrum, they're generally pretty big.
Yeah, I love the two things that you mentioned. Not only the narrowing, like really kind of that's usually the hardest things to actually prioritize. Let's pick one thing to do. It's like we notice like when you try to do everything, you ended up doing nothing, right? So the prioritization is key. I love the first part that you touched upon as well, which the kind of a framing it as a capability, right? So it helps, I think, and we try to do similar. We're using different words, but it try to depersonalize. The problem is not the people. It's not a performance assessment. It's like who's doing things wrong. It's like what are the capabilities, what are the systems and the process that we have, you know, that delivers a certain capability, that in what the capabilities that are not okay or we still need. There's not still there, but it's not in a kind of individualized or any kind of putting blame on anyone. It's just like where we are as an organization, right? So that I guess that helps a lot, kind of a move that the discussion without kind of people getting defensive or you know, kind of creating problems to actually get an alignment where we are.
Yes, I agree. And if we looked at it like there's a big problem, we talked about that. We talked about how do we build credibility? You do that by showing where you're capable already, right? That third big step, and particularly in healthcare, because the person who pays and the economics don't always match either the user experience or how that product or care is delivered. That third step is sort of the make or break of the use case. And whereas we may have capabilities, when we start to narrow those use cases, it's typically because we have to prove the economics. And you know, I've been in healthcare for a very long time, and we've gone through waves of how early do you really need to focus on economics? And I'll tell you now, as a practitioner, the economics have to come in the first discussion, right? So as we start to put use cases on the table, we'll think through the viable path to revenue or the economics down at the unit level. And some will make sense, and some you have to add X, Y, and Z to make it make sense. And that's when you consider customer or a customer base, yes, for one, but partnerships, et cetera. So I would say that what might be really critical within health technology or health companies in particular is when you get to that third stage, which is we have to prove the business model. We have to prove we can make money doing this. And it starts to further narrow what the first use case could be.
Yeah. it seems a lot like, you know, like a startup work for me, right? But we should treat our ideas of new things, innovative things, like in that kind of a, you know, give them a you know, round A money first before giving them round E money.
I agree. And having run fairly large businesses for Philips, right, with a lot of variety to them, having started my own and then having worked with a lot of smaller companies that are anywhere from that Series A, you know, all the way into their exit phase or entering into that exit phase, I can tell you I've not seen a lot of difference in how it's done. I just have seen a lot of success rate differences. So I say the less rigor, and I know it doesn't always feel great for that rigor, but the less rigor, typically you start to find the problems later than they can really be addressed. And so my encouragement is always pull those big credibility questions, capability questions, and business model questions very early in the discussions. And you're right, it has to come almost immediately after what are we trying to accomplish?
Yeah. Because you know, in our experience, like the digital space is so unpredictable, right? So like it's way more unpredictable than, you know, the world that we lived in the 20th century, right? So it's in digital in special, it's just very very volatile and moves so fast. And if you kind of, you know, have a set plan for 5 years and a lot of money to do something, probably when we hit the market, you already kind of point in a completely different direction when where the market is. So all those disciplines have to be there from the beginning and kind of iterating in a much faster pace than we used to, right? Like, and that's what we think. It's at least it's a big challenge for older organizations that were successful in the first, like, and were successful in the last century.
Yes.
That's a hard lesson to learn, because that the world is moving so much faster than that, you know, just that cycle of planning and execution has to be adjusted to thrive in this new world.
Yes. And speed is so important. And if we're talking about adoption, as I was saying earlier, I spent a year with Best Buy recently as we were building the Best Buy Health organization. So again, taking a retailer and then doing that transformation. They were under a phenomenal digital transformation from a retail perspective, and a lot of good things were happening. And they were looking to apply that more to health. And, you know, we moved very quickly from that. What is the North Star? What are the capabilities? What do we really want to do to build the credibility? We made the decision to really go out and find that partner very early on to be sure that we had that built-in customer base when we did choose the use case. So that's something that I would always recommend, is think about finding an early adopter within that, you know, first phase. And within 9 months, we had accomplished that and acquired a business for the first use case that we considered to be the most optimal for our capability. So it can be done in very big, you know, Fortune 50 companies, had that experience at Philips, but then have also seen it, you know, with companies that have 45 people, right? And it can be done. Yes, yes.
Cool, really cool. So Stacey, tell me a little bit of a, you know, maybe kind of a final question here. Like the healthcare as a system in the US is the probably the most expensive, not probably, it is the most expensive per capita in the world, right? So, and not necessarily the best, right? So we're not ranking on the top there anymore. So I guess it's just a ton of opportunity to kind of optimize it and improve it. I just wanted to listen from you. Like, where do you think that's kind of the biggest opportunities to kind of to improve this with the use of technology, or if it's not technology, like the, but I guess there a lot of technology can help in the data controls and data flowing better, and, you know, kind of the parts coming to work better for the patients, but for all the players in the system, right? So just wanted to hear from you, where do you think there's, you know, there's potential for big improvements and kind of benefits for everybody that's participating in that huge ecosystem.
I think that earlier detection of either a decline in health or an advancement of a chronic disease, those are all places where today's technology, and I can't even imagine tomorrow's technology, and it's coming very fast with AI. But with today's technology, we can make a huge difference in identifying situations earlier. When you identify situations earlier, you reduce costs and improve outcomes. So now we have to think about technology sets, right? And tech-enabled services that allow us to bring that technology forward more into the populace, more into the consumer realm. However, what we've seen over the past decade, as we've called it digital health for about 10 years now, is we're still adding cost. So there's been very few success stories that have put that technology or those tech-enabled services into play, and where it didn't add. That's not, we can't sustain that. That's not going to work. So what we have to figure out how to do is to reach for those outcomes, but most definitely find ways for technology and health technology, and maybe it's coming from other industries, to help us prevent people from progressing in disease and to pull that more into the consumer realm. That would be my piece of wisdom, without adding cost. And that's what's really important about getting that use case right, but also thinking about the economics so early and understanding that it's not only our hope, but our obligation to figure out how to strip some of that cost out of the system.
Yeah, just eating your own dog food there, like, you know, like for, yeah, how this is going to stand on its feet, right? Like from day one, which I guess is very challenging, right? Because if you start to do this, how to get compensated for, like, and how you actually fight the whole system and interests that actually live by, you know, providing late, kind of late diagnosed disease or services, right? Like, it's so that seems like a massive transformation for the whole system. Yes. Cool, really cool. Well, it's a refreshing one. There is light in the end of the tunnel for us.
Absolutely, I would say, and it's closer than you think.
Cool, really cool. Stacy, thank you so much for joining me here and sharing all your wisdom and insights. That's been a terrific to talk to you and to learn with you today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.